This episode of To Your Good Health Radio is brought to you by Organifi. For years, I've been looking for a whole food, plant-based protein meal enhancement product with organic greens and fruits. One that tastes great and doesn't contain any artificial chemicals or sweeteners. I'm thrilled to tell you, my search has finally ended thanks to Organifi. These guys don't cut corners, folks. Their products offer select whole foods, natural vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and MCT oils, which give you healthy fats that will keep you feeling full longer. Most people don't eat the recommended 5 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables per day. Organifi can help you fill that void. Just add a scoop to water, apple juice, or almond milk, shake, and that's it. Easy, convenient, and mess-free. And their products taste amazing. Organifi is your source for organic plant-based products from whole food sources. Visit Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And type in promo code GOODHEALTH to receive 20% off your order. That's Organifi.com, promo code GOODHEALTH. Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Technology has made our lives easier in countless ways. Our cell phones, computers, and laptops offer many conveniences. But does this come with risk? Many items we use daily emit electromagnetic field radiation, which can be toxic to the body, both physically and mentally. Nicholas Pienaalt is here to discuss this electromagnetic pollution and how we can stay safe. Don't go away. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a health journalist who has published more than 1,500 online articles on how to achieve a healthy life. His features include real food and healthy cooking, environmental toxins and detox, reversing chronic disease, and healthy aging, just to name a few. His new book is called The Non-Tinfoil Guide to EMFs, an unconventional book endorsed by many leading health authorities, including Dr. Mercola. Here to discuss the topic of electromagnetic pollution and how its effect on human health, welcome to the show, Nicholas Pienaalt.
Hey, Dr. Friedman. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great. Great to be here. Really important health topic, I think, that just isn't discussed enough. Before we talk about the book on EMFs, first share with the listeners, what does EMF stand for and why is it such a health concern?
Sure. So EMF stands for electromagnetic fields. And these are the wireless signals that are emitted by electronics around you, including your cell phone, including Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. And the reason it's a concern is two prongs. First, it's everywhere. Obviously, I'm talking to you on a computer. It's emitting EMFs. I have a cell phone. I mean, it's all around us. And then the second prong of that is that scientists have discovered that, unfortunately, in the past, they thought these signals were completely meaningless to your body. But now they're finding that they're, some say, slightly toxic, and as you said in your intro, some think they're straight-up toxic for the human biology.
Right. Now, I know in your book you share some startling information and research on how EMF exposure can cause things like infertility, headaches, memory loss, hormone imbalance, even cancer. What emits the highest EMF exposure that people should be the most concerned about?
It's definitely the sources that are the closest to your body. So think about your cell phone, using it next to your head, for example. It's been every year you use a cell phone next to your head, according to research by Hardell. He's a Swedish researcher. It increases your risk of brain cancer by 8%. So it's not a gamble I would personally take for myself. And people that are health conscious or anyone should not have a cell phone next to their head. So that's definitely the number one source. And so instead of doing that, instead of throwing away your cell phone altogether, you can simply use a wired headset or speakerphone to create some distance between you and the EMF emitting device. And another very common device that I see people wrongly using is a laptop. And Dr. Friedman, using a laptop on your lap as a man, for example, one study showed that 4 hours of laptop use can lead to 25% loss of sperm motility. And that's a main that's a huge concern for people who want to conceive, for sure. But just men who want to keep normal testosterone levels, who knows what it's doing to them. So in that case, using a laptop, it should not be on your lap, ironically, because
yeah,
the name kind of says otherwise, right? But it should be on a desk, basically, or creating some distance between your lap and your laptop.
Right. Is it as bad to have a cell phone in a man's front pocket? Would that do the same thing?
Same idea. So there's been a couple studies looking at just cell phones in the pocket and fertility. And actually, when it comes to exposing spermatozoa in petri dishes or looking at the effects of EMF on sperm count, there are actually 201 studies that I identified in my book through, I think it's 8 meta-analyses, where they look at a bunch of studies and try to conclude, okay, is there a trend there between all these studies? And basically 201 studies in the 10 last years alone in science have shown that there is sperm damage. So I don't even know why you're not grabbing the latest iPhone X and it's saying do not put in your pocket. It should be turned off if it's in your pocket, or at least in airplane mode, so that way you don't have these EMFs kind of blasting away at your fertility.
Yeah, that's what I do. I keep my airplane mode on. It's like I'm working. I don't be bothered anyway. And when I'm ready to check my message, I flip it on. I check. I text, right? And it's off. That's the way I operate. I don't keep it rolling because it's searching, right? Isn't it out there searching for towers? So it's constantly, it's like a bombardment of all these electrons in your pocket.
It is. It is. And what most people don't realize that they see that their phone screen is black and they think, okay, well, it doesn't emit, but in fact, every couple of seconds, your phone makes sure to connect to a tower. It kind of pings the tower, says, hey, tower, I'm here just in case you need me, in case you need to send me data, send me a notification. It's constantly emitting. So another place that you do not want to have your phone is by your bedside. And a lot of people I see using, my own mom lately, I told her, Mom, maybe one of the reasons you have insomnia right now, do you have your cell phone next to your head as you sleep? And she told me, yes, I actually just started using it as my new alarm clock. So it's kind of ironic because we have all these apps and all these things that track our sleep, but it should be on airplane mode at night, because if not, it's basically like you've got some signal, someone trying to poke you in the head invisibly while you try to sleep. And there have been so many studies, Dr. Friedman, looking at melatonin disruption, the same way that looking at bright light and looking at a blue computer screen at night can keep you awake and kind of stimulate you and make your deep sleep go right out of the window. The same thing can happen if you have this cell phone buzzing away at your head all night nonstop, basically.
Well, not only that, you mentioned in the beginning that talking on the cell phone, you know, can mess the brain up, and it's been linked to brain cancer. And that's, you know, what do people talk, 20 minutes and hang up? If you're laying on top of the cell phone, people sleep on them sometimes. That's 8 hours right there.
That's right.
And,
yeah.
And Nick, it's usually plugged in, so they're getting it for the outlet too.
Exactly. And there's an important point I got to mention is the safety standards. And a lot of people think my book, I mean, you just read a title, you know what kind of tone is going to be used. It's the non-tinfoil guide to EMFs. I dive into science and not conspiracy theories and stuff like that. The simple answer about why are these manufacturers allowed to give you a cell phone, to sell you a cell phone that's not safe, is that the safety standards have last been updated in 1996. So at that time, I don't know who had a cell phone at that time. Maybe you did. I think my dad got one in 98. It was 3 pound heavy or something like that. So these standards are simply old and deprecated, and they account, for example, for 6 minutes of cell phone use per day. Who uses their phone, including texting, including having it by their bedside, for 6 minutes? And it doesn't account for your neighbor's cell phone while you're on a subway train and everyone is buzzing away, you know? So it literally, the standards have nothing to do with the real life way that we use these devices. And this is the main problem.
Right. And I've read that using Bluetooth devices can magnify those EMFs going into the brain 4 times more than holding the phone up to your ear. Is that true? Does it magnify when you use the Bluetooth devices?
Well, actually, so the problem I have with Bluetooth is that it's pretty much like trying to diet and replace Wonder Bread with Wonder Bread with some iron in it, you know? Trading one toxin for another, a little bit lesser toxin. So generally, Bluetooth headsets will emit less EMFs inside your head, but it's deeper deeper inside your head. So it's kind of a catch-22. So I suggest going wired. But one guy that's an EMF consultant in the U.S. has actually tested one Bluetooth device that emitted 4 times more EMFs than a cell phone. So in that case, it's kind of a... Yeah, you don't know exactly if you're going to reduce your EMFs or not with Bluetooth. So my advice when it comes to Bluetooth is try to minimize its use, because it is the same kind of signal, the same frequency, and the same, sometimes the same strength as a cell phone.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, anything electric that we use conveys some type of EMF, from our blow dryers, microwave ovens, cell phones, computers. It's not easy, Nick, to avoid these devices. What can people do to protect themselves besides moving to a deserted island?
Sure. Well, the number one thing, like I said, is your own devices. Let's face it, you cannot tell your neighbor right now. It's not appropriate to say, don't kind of secondhand smoke me or secondhand EMF me. Like, maybe in the future it's going to be a thing, but right now you don't have kind of the civil right to do that. So focus on what you can do at home. So one of the things is just handling your own devices. And when it comes to your sleep, one good idea, a lot of people have a Wi-Fi at home, almost. I don't know anyone personally who doesn't. So turn off this Wi-Fi router before you go to sleep, because you're going to sleep better even if your Wi-Fi router is not next to your head. It's just increasing the kind of electro pollution you're exposed to at night. So most people, I'd say almost 100% of people I tell this trick to, they report sleeping better and being more refreshed in the morning. So it's a free step to take. And one thing you can do in order to kind of set it and forget it, because people will tend to forget it just right before bed, is to plug your Wi-Fi into something called a Christmas light timer, one of these outlet timers that you can set between like 11 p.m. and 6 a.m., for example. So you don't even think about it, and Wi-Fi is off during your sleep hours. And for some parents out there, it's going to also help your teenage sons or daughters not to go on the internet at 2 a.m. to check Facebook. So that's always good.
Yeah, that's great. I love that tip. You hear that, folks? Because I've always been worried about Wi-Fi, as I keep mine on all the time. And it's like, but, you know, that timer, that makes a lot of sense. I'm definitely doing that this week, no doubt. Thanks. Let me ask you, we had renowned cardiologist Dr. Sinatra on the show a while back, who wrote a book called Earthing, A Way to Stay Grounded and Protected from EMFs. I sleep on a grounded mattress cover that he actually sent me. Share how EMFs can affect people when they sleep. And what's your opinion on earthing or other things we can do?
Sure. Well, when you sleep, basically, what's going on is that you have a gland right in the middle of your forehead called the pineal gland. And this gland is basically the gland that's responsible for producing melatonin at night. This is your main sleep hormone. So what EMFs are doing is kind of confusing this gland and making it stop producing melatonin. And that's even if you use your cell phone a lot during the day, it can actually disrupt your melatonin at night. So this is kind of what a high EMF environment does, is that your deep sleep will go out of the window. And one way you'll notice that is that if you cannot recall your dream, if it's been years since you last recalled a dream, it's a sign that you do not get deep sleep. If, however, you do one of these tips that I shared today and you realize you sleep more deeper, you wake up in the morning and, I don't know, you had an action movie going on during your sleep and you can vividly remember it, it's a good sign, right? So when it comes to grounding, the idea, without repeating everything that Dr. Sinatra probably already shared, is just connecting your body to the earth. And researchers have found in the last years that this is basically a biological need, walking barefoot on the earth. It's kind of a normal environment for your body to get attuned to, let's say, natural EMFs from nature, because the earth has a natural EMF feel to it. So it's a great way to actually reduce the side effects of EMFs is grounding yourself. So either walking by the sea, walking in the forest, barefoot, or in the wet grass. But another possibility, like you shared and like you're doing, Dr. Friedman, is having a grounding sheet in your bedroom. Now, the problem I have with that is when people use grounding sheets, but in a very high in EMF environment, like let's say they have Wi-Fi, they have three cell phones in the bedroom, they have everything on, and then the grounding sheet could potentially create a sort of antenna and pick up these EMFs and kind of make matters worse. So in order to prevent that, I suggest first removing all EMFs from the bedrooms. It means the phones need to be airplane mode, and then removing any, some people have smart thermostats, have smart everything, smart clothing these days, like everything is smart. So try to remove these smart devices, at least from your bedroom, because you need to create an environment that's natural, just like you would feel going camping, you know? There's no EMF in the middle of the forest, or At least, yeah. There were not. Now they're installing so many solar towers. I don't know if that's a true statement or not, but basically, so remove these EMFs. And one way you can also remove a bunch of other EMFs that are called electric fields from your bedroom is simply turning off the entire electricity to your room. And that's something that's a little bit more advanced, but at least it's free. So if you don't know if that could work for you, just try it for a couple of nights. Turn off the circuit breaker to your bedroom. And actually, some people report feeling way better, sleeping way deeper. So, I mean, doesn't cost a lot, if at all. It's going to cost you a couple of bucks per month in electricity savings right there. So this is something you can do. And then you can sleep on your grounding mat, which will basically help your body dump all these extra electrons, all these extra EMFs, and normalize your blood pressure, among other things, calm down your nervous system. And some people, they have seen huge difference in pain levels, and inflammation goes way down when you ground. So that's a great step. But I suggest, like I said, reducing EMFs first, and using both approaches, you'll sleep like a baby.
More with Dr. David Friedman into Your Good Health coming up. Do you have long-standing allergy and or asthma problems? Do you want to breathe easier and reduce your allergy and asthma symptoms? Tired of breathing aids that just don't work? Then let me introduce you to Molecule Air Purifiers. Molecule introduces a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at a molecular level. What does that mean? Molecule erases the full spectrum of indoor air pollutants, including those 1,000 times smaller than what a HEPA filter can catch, so you can breathe easier and experience the life-changing effects of clean air. In fact, one customer even said that she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. Molecule has already helped allergy and asthma sufferers around the country better cope with their conditions and significantly reduce their symptoms. So get Molecule and breathe easy. Order now and use code GOODHEALTH for $75 off your first order. Visit molecule.com and use code GOODHEALTH to save $75. That's molecule.com, molecule.com. Now back to Dr. David Friedman into Your Good Health.
Oh, that's great, great information. Now, I met you at a convention in California, and I have to tell you, I'm normally at my computer a minimum of 5 hours per day on my cell phone, right, connected to Wi-Fi, social media, and I'm driving in my car. Well, during my 5 days in California, I didn't get cellular service, so I left my phone in the room. I didn't have access to a computer, nor did I sit in a car for 5 days. And I don't know if it was a coincidence, Nick, but I slept better, felt better, my brain was clear. I came back to my world of technology, and that California bliss disappeared. Do you think me being unplugged had anything to do with it?
I think so. I realized the same thing. I spend a lot of time in coffee shops, Starbucks, and local coffee shops here in Montreal where I live. And the more time I spend in a Wi-Fi environment, the more I realize how fatigued I become. And I realized that when I spent 2 weeks in Florida lately, luckily after the hurricane. And basically, I spent so much time with my wife and business partner. We were walking around on the beach doing this grounding, right? And I felt way better. And then when I come back to the city, I just feel, I don't know, 10, 20% less resilient. It seems that I get fatigued easier. My mood goes off easier. I would become moody when I'm fatigued and stuff like that. So it's not necessarily that you'll experience acute symptoms from EMF. Some people are, but most people aren't. But it's more the long-term heaviness that people feel, the long-term stress that it might cause. So if you live in a city, you owe it to yourself and to your family to create the lowest EMF environment at home that you can create, because that's the part you control. And then when you go out in the city, you go to your job, the office environment, the movies, the subway train, everything is high EMF these days. So there's not a lot you can do. You can go by the beach doing your grounding, put your grounding mat, sure. But focus on what you can do, creating a low EMF home and just acting up with your devices in the right way and reducing the way you expose yourself on a daily basis. And I think it's going to make, just like you felt it, Dr. Friedman, most people feel it after just a couple of days of doing that.
Yeah, and you know, we are so reliant on technology, and if you're just solely bombarded with it and you can't get away from it, like Nick said, you go out and you walk in the forest, get away from it, walk on the beach, take your shoes off, walk barefoot, and shut your phone off when you do that, though. And then you'll see a difference. One thing I got to bring up is I've talked EMF on the radio show before, but this is something that's come up, is the huge paradigm shift to electric cars. While they're environmentally friendly, are people more at risk to EMF damage when driving them? I know Tesla's entire foundation is a gigantic battery. Is there a risk?
Well, Tesla's going to call me up now, but Elon Musk is going to come to my house to, I don't know. Honestly, EMF experts in the realm that have studied people with electrosensitivity, or some call it EHS, they have seen huge increases in symptoms when people use hybrid or electric cars. That's just a fact. That's because there's a battery pack in there. It emits an electric field, magnetic field. Some of them, of course, are plugged on 3G, 4G, eventually 5G, and there's a Wi-Fi hotspot. Everything is smart. There are so many sensors. So it's a very, very high EMF environment. But it also includes new cars these days with a kind of this smart console or dashboard where you have this free hotspot and whatnot. Try to avoid those. It's just like if you spend your life in your car, let's say you're a realtor or you're someone who moves around a lot during your job, it's just an environment where you do not want to concentrate EMFs. And let's face it, it's a big metal box. So essentially, yeah. EMS, what they're doing, microwaves, it bounces around. So you're essentially in a giant microwave oven, kind of frying yourself very, very, very slowly. This is essentially what it's doing. And on a cellular level, not to get too geeky, but it's dehydrating you very fast. So it's another reason that I think people lack magnesium these days, or are so dehydrated and are so fatigued. And this is seen in so many conditions, but also just in overall fatigue and lack of performance, or even lack of mood, of happiness. And it's been linked now with the latest studies are just so concerning. This is why I'm spending 100% of my time talking on podcasts, because I want things to be settled so we can have safer technologies, you know? It's linked with increase in depression and anxiety. And when I read a study lately about, what is it, 33% or 50% of teenagers that have depressive symptoms, it is an epidemic, so it's not the sole cause. I'll never say that there's one problem in the world and that's EMS. That would be nonsense. But it is a big contributor, and unless we look at it and we acknowledge that, well, companies are not going to be forced to put out safer, low EMF products out there. They have no incentive to put the billions it's going to cost them to change their research and development. So it needs to come from you listeners, asking for these technologies, talking to your neighbor about that, listening to Dr. Friedman's show and spreading health information. I think this is the only way it can be achieved. It's going to be through the people and not waiting for the government and deprecated FCC's limits, and not waiting for companies to suddenly become nonprofit and start investing a lot of money in R&D they don't need.
Yeah, well said. Now, by the way, if you go to listen to your podcast and it's missing, Elon Musk might have had something to do with that. He's pretty techno. he might make it. Where's the podcast? It disappeared. He's got the technology, but great info. Now, in the minute we have left, I have to ask you, how can people test the electromagnetic fields in their home, in their office? I've seen these handheld EMF meters sold online ranging from $10 to $250. Do any of those work?
Sure. The one that I recommend, I don't recommend a lot of meters for the average person. It's called a Cornet, Cornet, and a Cornet 88T. So ED88T. That's the model I was using throughout my book. And this is a model that's going to help you figure out your EMF environment as far as cell phone signals. So that's the microwave range. And then you can also look at magnetic fields and electric fields. And it gets a bit technical, but you can find great information online about how to maneuver around your house with those. But it's going to really help you identify your biggest priorities. And also, if you stay in a hotel room, for example, you'll be able to find the sources of EMF. And sometimes they hide these things, the routers everywhere. And you'd be surprised. For example, I measured that Xbox console, and maybe now Microsoft is going to shut me down, but an Xbox console emits EMF 24/7. Even if you turn it off, you need to unplug it in order to stop emitting. The chip inside is set to constantly emit. I don't know why they do that. I think it's maybe bad engineering, but basically you have to unplug gaming consoles to remove the EMF. So it's kind of crazy, but this is the kind of stuff you find once you have a meter.
Yeah, I mean, you've shared some really great info. I bet a lot of people haven't thought this way because we just take it for granted. I mean, everything you mentioned is just around us, and we don't look at it and go, wow, could this be actually why I feel so bad? And like you said, test it. Shut it off. See how you feel for a couple days. Shut off your Wi-Fi, and you'll let your body speak to you. It spoke to me in California, so I don't know if it's just I love the state or I was away from all this electronics, but I really felt the difference. So that's so good. Thanks for being with us, Nick. It's been great to learn more about Nick's work and to get your copy of The Non-Tinfoil Guide to EMFs. Go to emfbook.com. Be sure to sign up for his newsletter to stay up to date with all of his latest and helpful information. You can follow Nick on Instagram at Nick Pinault. And let me spell that for you. That's P-I-N-E-A-U-L-T. For my daily Instagram posts, follow me at healthradiodoc. Stay up to date on all of our latest health and wellness segments at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Share this podcast with friends, family, and coworkers so they too can learn how to avoid these health-destroying EMFs. You owe it to them, just like you heard today. It's going to make a difference in your life. Help others. Share this information. You can also subscribe to our weekly podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.